You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. This week's message is week 3 of our teaching series titled, Inner Order, Outer Peace, Organizing Your Life Around the Things That Matter Most. For more information and to visit us online, visit us at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I am a little bit of a sucker for, I suppose you could call it a shortcut or the hope of like a silver bullet when it comes to certain, you know, like personal goals of mine. For instance, not long ago, I started drinking mushroom coffee. Okay, I had heard from my older brother that he changed, this is what he said to me, I kid you not, he told me he changed no other habit in his like diet and nutritional life except for drinking mushroom coffee, and he said it changed everything. And so obviously right then and there in that moment, I too became a big believer in mushroom coffee, and I spent the $40 to get a bag of like 2.5 cups of mushroom coffee. And I was so excited to think that I would have to do nothing. I would have to change nothing in my life except for just drinking one like mediocre cup of hot mushroom water every day. I was so excited to think I'm gonna have to change nothing in my life except for this thing, and I'll have I'll achieve all the goals that I have been longing for. And newsflash, it didn't quite work. I'm not saying that, you know, mushroom coffee is not a good thing. It was just not like the thing. It was not the silver bullet that I, you know, thought it would be. And so I'm not drinking mushroom coffee anymore. That's because I'm on to something new. I saw an advertisement online. It was geared like right toward men, and it was like, you know, you turn 40 years old, are you still working out and still eating right, but you can't get rid of that dad bod? And I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah, this is like exactly the frustration that I have been like trying to explain to Erica, like I'm doing the right thing. Why am I not seeing and so I'm going, okay, yes, I'm listening. And the ad goes on like, well, yeah, you need this new product. It advertises, I swear the commercial says like, you can eat anything you want. Just make sure to drink a little bit of this stuff every day and you'll have the physique of your dreams. And I know better than this. And I understand that, like, I know how advertising works. I know that it's like promising stuff that it just can't deliver, but I could not help myself. I was thinking like, I think this could be it. I think this might like could maybe be the solution that I have been looking for. And so a few days later, I kid you not, I found myself at Costco and I'm walking out with like 6 giant canisters of this new protein powder with a heart full of hope that I would be unrecognizably jacked in like 7 to 10 days. I'm like, I think this could be it. Okay, this is like all very true, just in case you're wondering. Now, I recognize that this, like, makes me look a little silly, like, that I'm, like, you know, all in for this stuff. But here's what I want to say. I'm not sure that this is just a me thing, okay? In fact, what I believe is that this is just, like, a small little example of what is becoming more and more true of more and more people today. I think what's happening for so many of us in so many areas of our life is we want success without sacrifice. Okay, we want to believe so badly that there is some kind of like easy button that we can press to achieve all of our goals without having to put in a whole lot of work. And the reality is this happens in areas of our life beyond just like fitness. I think it happens in our like our business and our career lives. We want to believe so badly that there is some way that we can get a hold of some kind of reward without having to take some kind of risk. But I see this in the world of like spiritual leadership today. There's so many young Christian leaders who want a real following without real faithfulness. Right, every day, like there's so many people that want us to think there's just kind of like a fast track to significance. And I think the very same thing is true of just everyday spiritual life for you and me. I think the very same thing is true for just everyday spiritual life in general. I think what we're seeing is that more and more people today, this is true of so many of us, we want the blessing of a spiritual life without the burden. Another way to put it is like we want the benefit of a spiritual life and doing the right kind of spiritual things. We want the benefit of it all without really any of the burden, right? There's this big part of us that thinks it's possible that just maybe we could have the growth without any bit of the grind. And sadly, I'm just not sure that's how it works in fitness or in faith and spiritual life. And so what happens is you know, for so many of us is that, and I see this in people, that people are just like spinning their wheels, trying to add the right kind of spiritual things to their life. And yet they still kind of end up feeling kind of empty, going like, well, what the heck? It's not working. Like, I tried to do the right things. I tried to add in the right kind of, you know, components of a spiritual diet, and like, it's not working. What in the world is going on? And they get discouraged, right? And ultimately, I don't want that to happen for anybody. I don't want anyone to get discouraged or to feel like it's not working when they're genuinely trying to live into the blessing that God has in store. And I just happen to think that the solution for you and I is actually the decision to shoulder some kind of a burden, some kind of a spiritual responsibility, to carry a little heavier a weight. Not a weight that is meant to crush you or like just destroy you, just some kind of weight that would ultimately challenge you, that would call you off of the sidelines and onto the playing field to join God in God's mission in the world. And that's what I want to try to encourage each of us toward today as I wrap up this series called Inner Order, Outer Peace. What I have been suggesting throughout this three-week series is that ultimately I think that we will find peace in our life as a result of organizing our life and organizing our heart around, first and foremost, the things that really matter most. And I have been suggesting that three of the things that should matter most for us, for those of us who would call ourselves Jesus followers, the three things that matter most are the Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. What I've been trying to encourage us is to figure out what we need to do to organize our heart and organize our life around these three things. And the picture that I have been using throughout this series is these jars right here. These jars are meant to represent our lives, the little pebbles, the little stones inside of them, of which there are the exact same amount, represent all the things that we do in life, the things that we gotta do, the things that we have to do, the things that we wanna do, that we wanna spend our time and our money on, all the hobbies that we enjoy, all of the kids' activities. And then these tennis balls are what I have suggested represent the Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. And what happens is this: when we start with all the things that we gotta do first, And you know, all the things we like to do, have to do, when we put those things in first and then we try to add the Word of God and the people of God and the mission of God into a life that is already in orbit, what we find is that we try to add, we go, oh yeah, I want to, those are good things. I should add those things into my spiritual diet, the Word of God and the people of God. When we try to add those things into a life that is already at orbit, what we find is it just doesn't work. But if we were to reverse the order, and if we were to start with the things that matter most, if we were to figure out how we organize our life, how we reprioritize our life around the Word of God first and the people of God and the mission of God, if we were to put those things in first and then add everything else around it, what we find is that everything seems to magically find its place, magically fit into the lives that we have. And what I've wanted us to see is that ultimately it's inner order. It's putting the first things first that creates the outer peace in our life and that fills the deepest satisfactions and longings that we have. And so I kicked off the series encouraging us to be people who would start our day in Scripture, right? To build a life around not only reading, but to build a life ultimately around believing in and trusting the Word of God to be true and powerful in our lives. Last week, I looked at both the creation story and the formation of the earliest church ever in order to help us realize that God's intention for humanity, it was always community. And so I urged each and every one of us to not try to build a Jesus-like community into our life, right? To say, oh yeah, that would probably be a good thing. Let me try to add that into what I've got going on. My encouragement to us was not to try to build a Jesus-like community into our life, but to try to build a life from the beginning, right? Alongside, linked arms with, partnering with a Jesus-like community and build a life from the ground up. And today I wanna try to help you see and understand the importance of organizing your life and your heart and your priorities around the mission of God. It's the people of God, it's the word of God, and it's the mission of God. This is ultimately the mission of God. It's ultimately a theological concept in the world of Christianity, and it comes from a Latin phrase, missio Dei, which just literally means the mission of God. And it's the idea that God is at work in the world. Right, understanding the mission of God is us understanding that like God is not waiting on us to initiate or to show up in places to kind of usher in the work of God or the work of the Spirit. That's the idea of the missio Dei. The mission of God is the understanding that He is already at work in the world to bring about redemption and to bring about reconciliation and the restoration of all things. And our role as the people of God is to just join God in God's mission. Simply put, the mission of God is helping us understand He's already at work around us. We've just got to join Him there. And so what I want us to understand is that a central part of a life of faith is ultimately it's the joining in part. It's the joining God where God is already at work. Because what I believe to be true is that there is not necessarily, we're not going to find the blessing that we're hoping for without at least some slice of the burden. Right? Well, I think one of the mistakes that we make in the church today is not presenting like the full picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus. We say, this is the part we get right. We say, hey, Jesus loves you. You know, you should join the team. But we don't always do a great job of helping people understand that once you join the team, guess what? You're in the game, right? There's not like a practice squad or like a JV squad. We do a great with first being, hey, Jesus loves you, you should join the team. We don't always do a great job of helping people understand. Once you join the team, you're in the game, right? You got a seat on the bus. You got to row the boat, right? It's not possible to be a fully devoted Jesus follower without doing some bit of the heavy lifting. What we're going to see here is that never are we presented with a picture in Scripture, not in the life of Jesus or not in the life of anybody who carried the baton after Him. Never are we presented the picture in Scripture that there is some kind of benefit to enjoy without sharing in the burden that God has for the world to know Him and to know His love for them. In fact, what I want us to look at today is what was written about the man that we refer to as the Apostle Paul. He's considered to be like one of the greatest missionaries ever, meaning he made his life to be about the mission of God and the part that he played in it. And I want you to pay very close attention to what is written about this guy named Paul at almost the exact moment that he started following Jesus. It's written about in Acts chapter 9. This is what is considered to be the conversion of Paul. Here's what you have to understand as we read this little passage here. His name prior to his conversion was Saul. And here's what we got to know. Saul, actually, at this time, he persecuted Christians. He hated them. And he was at this moment, he was on his way to the city of Damascus on a huge like mission to like round up all of the Christians. And here's what happens. God stopped him in his tracks. God strikes him blind and tells him to go see some man named Ananias. At the same time, God tells Ananias, hey, I'm sending this guy named Saul to you, and I'd like you to pray for him. And Ananias is like, no way. I've heard about this dude. I ain't praying for that. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said, go, Ananias, you gotta go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. Meaning God had a purpose and God had a calling on Paul's life. And get this, verse 16, God says, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul, prayed for him, restores his sight. Saul is amazed. He gets up, he's baptized, and he surrenders his life to Jesus and to God's call on his life. And here's what we have to understand. From the minute that Saul or Paul, from the minute that Paul then commits his life to Jesus, he knows, oh, I'm going to trade my life for this thing. And he did. In many ways, he really did trade his life for this call on his life. And he did suffer. Listen, if we turn to 2 Corinthians, listen to this little like spiritual resume of Paul's life as he devoted his life to the mission that God had for him. Here's what Paul writes of some of the things he experienced just trying to live on mission for God and point people to Jesus. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and out on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I worked long and hard, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. This dude's been through it all. All in an effort to point people to Jesus and to do the thing that God called him to do. And what's crazy about Paul's life, what's crazy about the things that he devoted himself to, is that he was largely at peace with all of it. I'm not saying he was like, oh, easy, no problem. But when you look at him talk about everything he experienced, he was largely at peace with all of it. He's constantly on record here and elsewhere for saying, hey, it's all good. Constantly on record saying, hey, my sufferings, my trials, my burdens, my weaknesses, my failures, all good. Because all of it is an opportunity for me. All of it provides for me an opportunity to point people to Jesus. Now, no, I'm not saying that I want any of you to suffer. And yes, that I recognize that this is not like the most compelling picture to present to you for a life of following Jesus. I get that. But here's what I am saying. Here's what this does demonstrate so well for you and for I, that we were not created for comfort, but for calling. Okay, that the goal in our life, when we say yes to Jesus, right, the goal in life is not to live a comfortable life, it's to live a missional life. And Jesus understood this actually quite, you know, better than anyone. Jesus understood this about God's call on his life. In fact, we'll look at one moment here. It's recorded in John chapter 4 when Jesus is in the midst of some of his ministry travels. And his disciples, they urge him to stop and eat something. They're like, Jesus, you need a snack, right? So their concern, what we continually see, their concern is always for like, you know, the physical world. And what we see from Jesus is that his concern is always for the spiritual world. And so Jesus tells them in this moment, they say, hey, Jesus, you need to stop and eat something. Jesus tells them, he says, hey, I got food that you know nothing about. And they're all confused. They're like, who gave him something to eat? We didn't. Where did he get this stuff? And he sees their confusion. And so here's what he says to them. It says this. Then Jesus explained to them. He says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So Jesus is teaching them that the deepest satisfaction that we can find and experience, it does not come from physical needs being met. He's leveraging this moment to go, hey, it's not my nutritional habits, it's not my nutritional needs, it's not any other kind of like worldly good or worldly pleasure that gets my engine revving. He says, what does get my engine revving is living in obedience and living in alignment with the work that the Father has called me to. He is demonstrating for all of us, for his guys then, he's demonstrating for us now that his life, it is ordered and is oriented around God's mission in the world, not around his own convenience. And so what we see once again, gang, is that it's always about a calling on our life, not about living a comfortable life. And I think that you too will find the most amount of rest, the most amount of peace, the most amount of satisfaction, the most amount of joy when you too are living out of a calling and not just living in comfort. My wife and I got a reminder of what this really means for us in a small way. I was surprised a few times this past summer when Erica told me that life had almost gotten like too comfortable. If you're not aware, I had the incredible opportunity this past summer to take a 3-month sabbatical, and it was such a great gift. I gotta say a massive thanks to everybody here that made that possible for me. It was a 3-month sabbatical. It was designed for me and Erica and the kids to rest, and we did, and it was heavenly. And as it got later in the summer, here was what was interesting. Erica, she started finding, in my estimation, she started finding an intriguing level of satisfaction in just like everyday chores around the house. I'd be like, hey, Erica, like I got time. I'm like, hey, I'll do the dishes. Hey, I'll do the laundry. Hey, I'll do fill in the blank. But Erica was like, no, I've got to do it. Because what was happening is she found herself, and she admitted this to me, she found herself to be missing responsibility, missing having like things to do. After a summer of more relaxation than we typically experience in one summer, she was like, I can't be waited on any longer. Like I can't have people cooking for me and cleaning for me and doing the washing the towels for me any longer. As great as the rest was for all of us, Erica found herself, and if I'm honest, I found myself too, missing a little bit of purpose. Missing a little bit of like responsibility. And it was this small reminder for us that what we needed most, it was not comfort. It was not like an easier life. It was a missional life. It was a life that was devoted to something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger than ourselves to devote ourselves to every single day. And I would argue that maybe the same is true for you. Right? If there's some part of you that doesn't, despite some of the good things you're trying to do, if there's some part of you that doesn't feel totally at rest, or if there's some part of you that despite like the good things that you're trying to do, if you feel like, I'm not even sure if I'm at my best, I wonder if it's possible that you've settled for, even if you didn't realize you were doing it, I wonder if it's possible that you've settled for a comfortable life and not a missional one. I wonder if it's possible that you still have room to live more into a calling that God has placed on your life and to join God where He is already at work in the world. I wonder if it's possible that what you're experiencing is the thing that you thought maybe you needed, a comfortable life, when really it was a missional one. And that's what would actually make you come alive, actually give you the rest and the joy and the satisfaction and the peace that you needed. A calling, not comfort. Now here's a question that you very well may be asking. What is my calling? How do I know exactly what God has called me to do? It's a great question. The first thing I would do to answer that is to point you to what Frederick Buechner writes about calling. I love what he has to say about this. He says that your calling is the place that God calls you to, where your deep gladness, the place that God is calling you to, is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. It's that interaction between your greatest joy and the world's greatest needs. That's the place where God is calling you. For me, just To give you an example, one of my great joys is seeing people far from God take steps toward God, specifically in the local church. And I've always told a story that captures well my heart for this kind of thing. It was a story of an old coworker of my wife when we lived out in Colorado. We'd always hoped that he would come to church with us one day. And he was at church with us one Saturday morning, not for services, but for an event that was being held in the community that we were just hosting at our church. And thinking that he might enjoy seeing our kind of, it was a huge church, thinking that he might enjoy seeing the big worship space, how inviting it was and how kind of non-traditional was, thinking that that might help, you know, break down any images he had of what it was. I invited him to just come in. I thought maybe he would enjoy seeing it. I said, "Hey, Scott, come in and take a look." And he was nervous. He agreed, but he was nervous. And he even admitted out loud that he thought if he stepped inside, this is why he was nervous, he said, "I think if I step inside there, God would probably strike me with lightning." And he was half joking, but clearly half not joking. He wasn't sure if he could really go inside. And if I'm honest, I think there's a lot of people like that in the world today, convinced somehow that they've done something so bad, or you know, done something so wrong that they probably shouldn't, they probably can't, that they're probably not allowed to go into a church. And one of my greatest joys is to help people realize that ain't how this deal works. And so, you know, this church in many ways is my attempt to do something about that. It's the calling that God put on my heart. And so the question that you got to ask yourself is what is the calling that God has put on your heart? Where does your deep gladness in the world's great hunger meet? Another question you could ask yourself is what breaks your heart? What breaks your heart? Because if you would come to realize, you know what, what breaks my heart also breaks the heart of God, that might just be the place that God is calling you. Not the thing that God is calling you to kind of add to your life. Oh, see if you can fit that thing in somewhere. That thing that breaks your heart, breaks my heart too. Yeah, see if you can find some room for that. No, it's the thing that God is saying, hey, what if you reorganized your life? What if you reprioritized your life? To make more of your everyday life about that thing that breaks your heart and that breaks my heart too. Now here's the thing, your calling, that thing that God has uniquely equipped you to do, it may or it may not be your career, your vocation. Okay, it might be, and that's awesome. That's a great thing. But I want you to understand that if that's not it, I'm not necessarily telling you that you got to like quit your day job. That's not the point of today's message. You can still join God in the work that God is already doing in the world. I want you to understand that you can still live a missional life, even if it's not your vocational life. Here's what you got to do. You just got to figure out where God is at work in the world and join him there. You got to figure out where is God at work in the world, in places that lights a fire inside of me, and you got to join him there. It might be in the community somewhere, an organization in the St. Croix Valley, an organization in the world whose work lights a fire inside of you. And you say, gosh, God is at work there. I got to jump in. I got to do what I can to help that place do more of what it is already doing. We just launched a partnership with an organization in the community called Together for Good. Could be a place like that. It's an organization that empowers the local church to walk alongside vulnerable kids and families who are experiencing crisis. I happen to think, we as a church think that God is at work in that kind of work. And so maybe you join him and you join us there. Or maybe you just join us here at Midcurrent. The theme of the day has been kind of us reminding you that God is at work. in the world around us, in the community around us. But the amazing thing is God is at work here in this place, in the lives of kids, in the lives of teenagers, hundreds of them at a time on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. God is at work in the lives of families who are oftentimes walking through the doors of this church for the first time ever or for the first time in a long time. God is at work in marriages that are being strengthened, in hearts that are being encouraged. And there are opportunities all over the place to join us as we join God, who is already at work here. Just about every single ministry team that we have, every ministry we have, I should say, and like almost every day of the week, just about every ministry of ours is growing right now, which means that there are opportunities for each and every one of those teams to be growing too. The reality is, if I get really practical here for just a second, we are most likely, we're observing what it feels like and how it all plays out here on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. is packed, people sitting along the wall and trying to find seats, places. We are most likely at a place where we're considering and preparing ourselves to add a third Sunday morning service early January, 2026. And the reality is, gang, we're going to need more and more people to help us create the needed space here on a Sunday morning for real people and a real God to meet. Where is it that you would join God in the work that God is already doing? Here at MidCurrent, here in this community, here in this world. Gang, I want you to know that no matter God's calling on your life, no matter where it is that he is leading you, that's going to be different for all of us. But here's what I want you to know. The peace that so many of us are longing for, it's going to be found by ordering our life around the things that matter most. Ordering our life in a way that would bring the greatest levels of satisfaction is ultimately not around the things out there. It's going to be ordering our life around the things that matter most that leads to the deepest satisfaction that we feel. We got to understand we were created to find the deepest levels of joy, of peace, of satisfaction in partnering with God in the work that God is doing in the world around us. And if you find yourself here today, ready to join in the mission somewhere, somehow, here at church, on one of our teams, in an organization, in the community, in the world, if you find yourself like ready to go, if you find yourself ready to join God in God's work in the world, if you find yourself ready to join the mission of God in a greater way, to do a little more heavier lifting somehow, but you don't know exactly where to start, here's a prayer that I want to encourage you to start praying today, to start praying more this week. It's a simple prayer. It comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who once heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to the people? Who will go for us?" And here was Isaiah's response that I'm hoping would be your response and that would be my response too. Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." "Who should go?" God asked. And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." I would encourage you and invite you, if you're trying to figure out, hey, what does it look like? Where is God calling me? Where is God at work in the world? Where does he want me to join in? Just make this your prayer. "Here I am, God, send me. I'm available. I'm ready. I'm willing. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to love. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to sacrifice on a mission for you." Gang, I'm hoping that this would be a prayer that more and more of us pray here at MidCurrent Church. I'm praying that there are more of us here who would understand that the deepest levels of peace and joy and satisfaction will not be found in a comfortable life, but a missional one. Joining God, where God is at work in the world every single day. Let me close right now and pray a little bit of this prayer for all of us here today. God, we give you thanks. It's been the theme of the day. You're doing great things. You're at work in awesome ways all around us. And God, I pray that you would be speaking uniquely to each of us here today. God, I pray that you would help us to get a greater sense of what our deep gladness is and where it intersects with the world's deep hunger, God. I pray that you would help illuminate for us the places in the world that we can join you. If that's an organization that does work across the globe, if that's an organization that does work across the St. Croix Valley, God, help us to see it. Help us to order our life around it, God. If it's the work that you're doing here, God, help us to know when and where we might raise our hand. Help us to know when and where and how we say, hey, send me, I'm available. But God, most of all, I'm praying that you would help us to understand where the real joy, where the real peace, where the real satisfaction comes from. It's not from a comfortable life. It's from a missional life. It's a little bit of the heavy lifting that we do to give ourselves more to the work that you have called us to. And we're praying that you would help us to do more of it, God, to devote ourselves to something more and to something bigger than ourselves each and every day. And we're praying this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.